The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
I mentioned politicians. Them and their advisors are our focus next, because the National Public Health Emergency Team have appealed to government again today to tighten travel restrictions into Ireland. Dr. Ronan Glynn was before the Health Committee. He's Deputy CMO, and he repeated their advice for mandatory quarantine and removal of discretion around travel. The government has thus far been reluctant to take that advice, citing issues around the border. Stephen Donnelly mentioned it here in this show yesterday. Eamon Ryan mentioned it this morning with Shane and Kira. Well, Professor Gabriel Scally is the Professor of Public Health at the University of Bristol, and he joins me now on the line. Gabriel, it's good to speak to you again. You're very welcome back to the Hard Shoulder. I'm assuming you agree, and maybe you'll tell me I'm wrong, but I'm assuming for the moment you agree with Neffet's advice about a need for stricter controls at ports and airports. If so, why?
Oh, well, I've been arguing for that from the beginning. It's because... Well, I'm a public health doctor, and I grew up in the tradition of public health. I spent 30 or 40 years in it. And one of the things you do when you have an outbreak of a serious infectious disease, you try and stop its spread. And one of the things you do if you're an island is you stop it getting to your island in the first place and keep it out. And the way you do that is you halt it at the ports and airports. So it's the logical thing to do. And I think... we missed the real opportunity last summer when the deaths were so low in the north and so low in the south. We should then have put on controls. And gosh, wouldn't we be living a different life now if we'd only done that? But now I think there's such an increased case for it. And only today I know the European Commission was meeting, discussing it and expressing their concern about these variants. And it is enormously worrisome. You just reported there the remarks of the Prime Minister in London, and some of us knew this was coming because it's been apparent for a little while now that younger people were getting affected much more seriously than previously, and the fact that there's an increased mortality from these variants is not surprising. And the real worry is that, and one of these variants will pop up, and it might be the Brazil one, we don't know, and it will nullify, if not completely, at least partially nullify, the benefits of vaccination, and that would be disastrous. So for a whole string of reasons, I think it's a good idea to put on these controls. And, you know, Joe Biden announced controls yesterday. And a 200-page strategy, and we have no strategy. Well, and we do need those controls.
Let me put to you, I suppose, the two arguments then that are made often against them. The first one, and we'll just deal with the first one first. People say Ireland is in the EU. We're not like a New Zealand or Australia, that we've a small open economy, and that things like our supply chains are much more interlinked with other countries, that we can't cordon ourselves off in the same way the Antipodes did.
Oh, well, that's good news there in that the supply chains don't really carry the virus. It's people carry the virus. Supply chains and air freight and road freight, ferry freight has continued throughout the pandemic, and there have been very few, if any, cases of transmission via freight. So goods can move. It's people who carry the virus, and that's the issue. And yes, there are plenty of examples of islands taking advantage of their status. A hugely populous island with a very dense population, Taiwan, with one of the busiest air fleets in the world, some of the highest density routes, air routes in the world. And they've done such a remarkable job. Oh, no, there's no doubt about it. Ireland could do this if we really wanted to save lives and keep the disease at bay, we would do it.
Let me put the other argument to you then, and this is the argument more that Stephen Donnelly made, the Minister for Health, here yesterday, and Eamon Ryan this morning. It's that time and money and personnel are limited. All resources are limited, and they're limited. And if you divert them to a quarantine regime that can be circumvented by people travelling into Belfast and coming south, that is a waste of resources that could be diverted to other areas of the fight against COVID.
Well, there are lots of resources lying unused at the moment, including the hotels, and they would be make excellent quarantine places for people to spend those days in quarantine. There is a discussion to be had with the North, but the North is suffering just the same in terms at the moment, in terms of the deaths and destruction. And that's there is no reason why it can't happen. The only reason why it doesn't happen is because politicians won't get together and discuss it. And we know that there isn't great feeling between the two jurisdictions, but that's what politicians are there to sort out. After all, they managed to sort out via the Good Friday Agreement the troubles in the North, and we've now lost more people from COVID-19 in this island than the troubles. And yet they managed to get Martin McGuinness and Ian Paisley sitting together in Stormont. You know, it's not beyond the wit of man and woman to make this happen if they wanted to. I realise it might be difficult for them, but that's what they're there to do.
I asked Stephen Donnelly about that. Now, he said there have been talks and there are ongoing open channels, and that Tony Holohan as well is in ongoing conversation with his counterpart, the CMO north of the border, and that Stephen Donnelly is in constant contact with Edwin Poots, who's the health secretary north of the border. He made a point, though, Minister Donnelly, that there was no appetite, he said, in the six counties for putting any restrictions on travel between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. And that is their problem at the moment.
Well, that's not true. Robin Swan's the Minister of Health.
Robin Swan, apologies.
In the North, yeah. And there have been all of these, in theory, conversations. Unfortunately, I don't think the minutes of any of those conversations or any notes arising from them have been made available to see if there is any substance. But one would be hard-pressed to notice anything that has actually happened. There is none of the harmonisation or cooperation that was envisaged in their memorandum of understanding. Mm. And there is a huge support in the North for keeping this virus at bay and keeping it out. Now, I understand people have their political totems, but these are totems being manufactured by politicians, and I would appeal to them to lay them aside. They can pick up their prejudices and their ingrained opposition to things whenever they want, when this is over. But let's get this under control. So, if, and I've said this before, if this were pigs, sheep or cattle, you know, it would be all sorted. There wouldn't be the slightest problem and it would be done. And it's up to the politicians to do it.
So is your criticism more that we just haven't tried hard enough yet? That essentially when people say it can't be done, maybe it can't be done. You know, maybe we can't get agreement, but we haven't tried hard enough to get that agreement.
No, it's not my criticism. They haven't tried hard enough. They haven't tried at all. Not at all. It is absolutely doable. And we know it would work because it has worked elsewhere. One of the things we haven't done, you've got to look at places where they have sorted out COVID-19 and the economy is in great shape in most of those places. The economy and good public health go hand in hand. But they need to get on with it and do it and try it. You know, I would rather they showed the leadership to give it a go and do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work perfectly, it doesn't work perfectly. But it's a heck of a lot better than what we have going on at the moment. You know, there were 1,400 people from South Africa, 1,600 from Brazil came to Ireland in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And any of them could bring these variants to us with tissue paper between their arrival and the transfer of the virus. North and South, it's in everyone's interest to get this sorted out.
Yeah, it does seem remarkable that I can't go to Leash, but I could go to Timbuktu and back. Let's assume for a moment, and I appreciate we're kind of getting into hypotheticals here, but let's assume they try. They knock heads together and it just can't be done. And whether it's because of ideology or political totems or whatever it is, that they cannot get agreement that, you know, that unless all of Great Britain decides to go zero COVID, the six counties will not go zero COVID. And we're left with a 26 county approach. Now, I've had a look through the ISAG, the Independent Scientific Advisory Group, you know, the advocates, the zero COVID advocates, who are on the station regularly making their case. And they acknowledge this is a possibility that you could do it, but they don't really get into detail in those documents about how you would manage the border. There's talk about, you know, local or regional measures, but no detail of what those measures are. Could you shed any light on that? Because I just would like to understand how that might work on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I think one would have to have really robust discussions and consultations about the border and how it can be managed. And it should be done by involving the communities around the border and talking to them. And I hear lots of people talking from those border communities about how concerned they are about travel across the border between North and South as it is. We would just have to try and put controls on that. Make allowances for people who have to travel back and forwards across for work purposes or other purposes. But it does mean that we would have to put a lot of effort into the control of the virus.
It would be very difficult, wouldn't it? Because even if you allow for those allowances for people, I'm thinking of people living up in Northern Cavan and they're working for Manna, they're working for the old Quinn Group or whatever it happens to be, and they're crossing the border. And Cavan are in an All-Ireland semi-final then later in the year. And as you said, look, you could get back to kind of normality and 80,000 people in Croke Park, and we know these super spreader events, all it takes is one person there and suddenly, you know,
of course,
hundreds of cases, thousands of cases are seeded all around the country coming from that. I mean, would we not find ourselves kind of doing exactly what you want us to avoid doing, which is lurching in and out of restrictive measures because of just the odd, all it would take is the odd case coming down from the north in that situation for that to happen?
Indeed, it would be very difficult, but we would at least keep the virus under better control and numbers down and save lives, even with that problem. Now, if there is a problem of cooperation with the Northern Ireland administration, well, I think that's something that has to be sorted out within Northern Ireland and with the administration in Northern Ireland. And I do believe that the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland, just as they wanted to remain in the EU and the DUP didn't, I'm quite sure the majority of people in Northern Ireland would want to stop new variants of the disease coming onto the island, north or south. I'm quite sure they would. And the people in Northern Ireland, if you remember back to the beginning of the pandemic, it was the people in Northern Ireland who ran ahead of their politicians and closed the schools down. Schools were closed all over the north before the politicians got round to making that decision. And sometimes the people have to lead this. And the health fraternity in the north are being exhausted and run ragged by what's going on. The health service is in real difficulties, and I these people who say it's impossible, it is not impossible. It's not impossible, and we should continue to say it's not impossible and tell them to get on with it.
Gabriel Scally, public health physician, visiting professor of public health at the University of Bristol, president of epidemiology and public health at the Royal Society of Medicine. That's some title, Gabriel. And as always, it's a pleasure to speak to you here on The Hard Shoulder. We'll talk to you again soon.